Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet, and they have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? If you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
You may recall that I've shared this little story with you before, that I grew up in the land of milk and honey. Growing up on a farm down near Yankalilla, we were on a farm that we had a dairy farm, so it was milk, and my father was a beekeeper, so we had honey. We also had a few sheep and chooks and whatever. My dad also used to deliver bread for one of the local bakeries around the area, so we had a supply of bread, buns, and particularly during the school holidays, when we were home and he would come past with the bread van, pies and pasties that fell out the back of the van, if you know what I mean. We also had a few, as I said, sheep, chickens for eggs, and occasionally roast chicken if they were bad chickens, or naughty chickens, I should say, and some fruit trees and some vegetables. So we grew up in a land of plenty, the land of milk and honey, but it wasn't Egypt. It wasn't Israel. It was Wattle Flat down near Yankalilla. So having spent some time around Holy Communion this morning and the theme of Jesus in that story from Luke chapter 12, he says, don't worry about food. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about all sorts of things. I would like to reflect a little bit on biblical food this morning and, of course, invite you to share in biscuits and whatever in morning tea time. So I want to reflect on food in the Bible, and particularly from Luke's Gospel chapter 12. It says, Jesus, don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll do, where you will find, etc. And it goes on and talks about Solomon and the birds and all that sort of stuff. For food is, for your life and your body is more important than those things. There are hundreds of references to food in the Bible in various forms and meanings, but basically there are two ways in which food is mentioned, and that is food, that's the physical food. It's the stuff that we eat. Food on the table. And then the other option is an analogy. A food as a parable, as a metaphor or something that describes in a theological way, food being bread of life or things like that. Maybe identifying the character of Jesus. But most of us are consumers when it comes to food. That is buying, cooking, and eating. Not many of us are involved in farming. I don't see too many farmers here this morning. Maybe ex-farmers, yes. Maybe we're not in the food manufacturing business. No. Maybe we work in retail at Coles or Foodland. No. But we are mainly consumers. We go and we get and we cook and we eat. Maybe we've got a veggie patch out the back or a herb garden. So why is food so important? Primarily because it is essential for existence. Biologically speaking, we'll eat anything, pretty much. And, whether it be meat, plant, grain, or whatever, we virtually eat anything. And yet, in practice, we only recognize that there's only a small amount of food that we consider good to eat. You know, we don't go out and eat soursops too much, do we? I used to as a kid, but not anymore. There are five essentials to the necessities of life. And that is that we need air, water, food, shelter, and sleep. So food is one of those essentials for living. We cannot exist without food. So eating for most of us, though, is one of great life's pleasures. But food is not merely a source of physical sustenance, it's fundamental to our lives socially as well. The sharing of food and eating together forms relationships and bonds. Claude Strauss, an anthropologist, says that what distinguishes us from other animals is not tools, nor language, not even consciousness, but cooking. Cooking. The invention of cooking, says this anthropologist, involves fires around which our early ancestors gathered to share meals. Of course, animals sometimes share food, but they do not share meals. They do not share meals. Meals are centered on food, but eating is not the only important thing that happens. He says, it's around those meals that people come together. Around the meal, for perhaps the first time, they look into one another's eyes and say, this is good. It's good that we are here, together. Food in biblical times is essentially the same as what we eat today. They planted, we plant. They harvested, we harvest. All the same. But basically and theologically, food is a gift. A gift of God in creation. The Bible reminds us that God is the provider of food. And food is social. Banquets, parties, invitations were common. Many times we read in the Bible, and particularly we've expressed it today in Holy Communion, that Jesus teaches around a table or around food or uses food as an illustration. Community is created and grows together around the sharing of food and drink. And refusal to eat together is a sign of hostility. If people are unfriendly to each other, they don't sit down at a meal together that often. Remember the elder son in the prodigal son story. The elder son was out in the field at night. The younger son had come home and dad puts on a great party. Goes out to the older son, says, son, come on in. Come and share the meal. Your younger brother's returned. And the older son goes, yeah, I'm coming. No, he says, no way. I'm not coming in to join that. That younger son of yours, the younger brother, has squandered all my inheritance. And the story continues. But I want to turn our attention to some random Bible texts about the theological understanding of food today. I ask a question. Listen to this verse and what do you hear? From Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. To me, when I reflect on that, I'm uplifted. I get this sense of niceness, sweetness, goodness, a taste in my soul that is good, in my being that is uplifted. Remember the story in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1? The eating of the fruit wasn't an apple. It was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge, the fruit of that tree. The nation of Israel was often likened to a vine. when in a good relationship with God, the vine was fruitful. But when they rebelled or not in a good relationship or disobedient, they are considered as a barren vine. We remember the Passover of the Old Testament, when the Israelites were fleeing from Egypt, and how they killed the sacrificial lambs and ate and sprinkled the blood over the doorposts of their buildings so that that God would come and pass over their house. Hence the word Passover. And of course, the most famous, perhaps, verse in the Bible, Psalm 23. It's particularly the second part. You prepare a table before me, a banquet in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is only half full. No. My cup, it overflows. More than full, it's spilling over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. But let's jump to the New Testament. We notice many references to food that Jesus shares, many references to food that Jesus is involved in at various times. Right at the beginning in John's Gospel, the very first thing that Jesus does, the miracle of turning water into wine. Thousands of litres of it, or hundreds anyway. John chapter 4, we have a discussion with Jesus and a woman at the well. And the discussion about Jesus being the living water that will well up within you. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, where he was tempted to turn stones into bread. But Jesus' reply was, "You should not live by bread alone, but by the very words of God." Jesus then takes five small rolls and a couple of fish and breaks them and shares them between 5,000 people. John chapter 6 talks about Jesus as being the bread of life. The bread of life. And in Matthew 25 he says, "When I was hungry, you gave me food." Jesus liked parties. He liked dinner parties. He liked a celebration. And he uses these occasions often to talk about the kingdom of God, the way of God. One day he invites himself to Zacchaeus' place. And Zacchaeus had one of those conversion moments. Jesus often invited himself to prominent people's places, religious leaders, to Mary and Martha's place. He also ate with the so-called sinners and tax collectors. That is, those who weren't great, those who were on the outer. But Jesus focused on them. He had a deliberate practice of inviting himself to the table of others. And he was constantly questioned. Why does he eat with sinners and tax collectors, with those people? Which led to many occasions for Jesus' teaching and many occasions for Jesus to be threatened. Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God is like yeast. It's like bread. It is like a catch of fish in the nets. The parables of the wedding banquet and the parable of new wine, the sower and the prodigal son, includes references to images of food and sharing. And of course, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." In the Easter story, we notice again that food is prominent. The barbecue of fish and bread on the beach on Easter Sunday morning. The proof of reality that Jesus says, "Give me the fish to eat," as a sign that he was really there. And finally, on that day of resurrection, when Jesus meets the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they arrive at the house and they break bread together. Or let me say, Jesus breaks the bread and he is recognized for who he was. And probably the most significant use of food connected with Jesus and the early church is the Last Supper, which we've shared this morning. Broken bread, a cup of juice of wine. But it's more than that. It's about community. When we share the meal together, when we look into each other's eyes and say, this is good, it becomes a meal. It becomes communion. It is more than just bread. It is more than just juice. It is remembering and giving thanks to Jesus. It's being fed and nourished by the very bread of life. It is about community, being one. And so we've just begun to peel off some layers of biblical food. We haven't been able to sink our teeth into much depth. But I hope we've started to chew over some of the things. Some of those images and meanings might just sprout in us and produce fruit. So let us remember when we reflect on biblical food. It was Jesus who quotes when he says, we shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word or every word that comes from the word of God. Well, I pray and I want to encourage you this morning to feast on God's word. As our bodies are nourished by food, so also are our souls, fed by words, images, and ideas of and from God. Images and words such as nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And God is love. And those who live in love, God lives in them. So I pray and ask that our minds and our hearts might feast on the words of God, the very word of God, Jesus, the bread of life, the living water, the new wine, and let us be nourished for living and serving in our world. In his name. Let us go from here this morning refreshed because we have gathered around the table of the Lord. Amen.